Let's turn to our book of Hebrews chapter 2. And the subject I'd like to consider with you, which is of course taken from the first four verses of our text in chapter 2. And that is attentiveness to the word. Therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verses 1 to 4 marks the first of five admonitions found in the book of Hebrews. This purpose of the Lord giving us this five admonition is not to discourage us, but rather to encourage us and to persuade all believers, Christians, believers, to pay attention to God's word and to obey it. You will find that these five admonitions intensify or become stronger as we progress in our study of this book. It is like from the drifting away or backsliding or turning away from God's word to defying God's word, meaning to say disobey and outrightly reject God's word. And the strongest, of course, of the admonition is ended in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 to 29. And that one particular verse there in that section is the last word where God say, God is a consuming fire. And so this is to encourage us. This is to urge us. And we must remember, as I said before, that the Apostle Paul, who wrote this book of Hebrews, are writing to Christians at that time who were going through very severe persecution for their faith. They suffered a lot. And so there is a tendency for them to be discouraged and to give up their faith. And so Paul here tells them that they, and together with us too, who are believers, we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We also need to note that God does not sit idly by and permit his children to rebel against him. Just as what we have considered in our study of Jeremiah in our morning worship. Just as God pronounced his judgment or coming judgment, he accompanied that message with a message of hope. And so likewise we see here that as Christians go through the many difficulties and challenges in this life as believers, as pilgrims, we are to continue to persevere despite, because we have all the help, all the spiritual resources that we need for our spiritual battle and for our walk with the Lord. And so God will continue to speak, continue to guide us, provide for us, and to chastise us too if we go in the wayward way and forsake him. And so the first admonition found in verses 1 to 4 is the briefest and the most restrained of all of them. But nevertheless, it is solemn, and therefore we ought to take heed. The truth which the apostle Paul had just set forth for us in chapter 1, which we considered the last time, has very important implications. Look at the verse again in verse 1, chapter 2. You see the word down there, therefore. Therefore, the word there shows that this admonition in verses 1 to 4 arose directly from the preceding chapter, chapter 1. And so, since in chapter 1, we are told that the Son, the Lord Jesus, is so supremely great and is destined for final triumph over his enemies. Those of us, the believers, we ought to do well to pay careful attention to these realities. Look at chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory, the image, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Here again, we must take note that we the believers, we have a Savior who is no ordinary Savior. He is the Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead. And he is the brightness of God's glory, the express image of his person. This is the Savior that we have as believers, as our Savior, the Lord Jesus, in all his power, in all his glory, in all his majesty. And so therefore, there is no reason for us to give up. There is no reason for us to be discouraged or despondent, particularly for Christians who are going through a lot of affliction or persecution or trials. And so therefore, we do well to take note that since we have this in the Lord Jesus, in the person of the Lord Jesus, since God has revealed to us and given us his Son, and now he has given us his word, therefore we have no fear. And therefore we ought to pay more attention and to get ourselves deeper and fuller in the word of God, in the word of God, so that we can arm ourselves and further strengthen ourselves in our spiritual walk and in our spiritual battle in this life. The danger is that the reason why we are urged to pay more attention or to take heed or to be attentive to the word of God is that we are prone to drift away. And that is why you see the word there, lest at any time we should let them slip. And the word here, slip, in the Greek, it means to drift away, just like a piece of wood floating on the water and then carried away by the current and drift away, to slide off. And it has also a broader meaning of to decline. To decline particularly in the things of God. To decline in the things of spiritual value. So the Greek word there has a very broad meaning. It is not just like in our English, sleep. The word down there, sleep, does not give us a not forceful enough. But then when you look at the Greek word, it goes even broader. It has this meaning of sliding off, slipping away, declining. And so the reader of this letter was marked by immaturity and spiritual sluggishness. For whatever reason, perhaps they are discouraged. And so Paul saw the need to remind them, as you have all this in Christ, therefore, we ought to give more earnest attention to the things that we have heard and received. And if this, and for those of us who are believers, if we continue in our being careless and let our so-called spiritual life to slip, meaning to say we begin to have less interest in the word of God, less interest in prayer, less interest in going deeper and fuller into the word of truth, less interest in worship, less interest in Bible study, you can be assured that if you are truly a child of God, God will have to act. And he will not allow you to slide further away from what you have heard and received. And so the author here, the Apostle Paul, may have in mind the Septuagint, which I explained to you last time. What is the Septuagint? Is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. So the Apostle Paul may have in mind of the Septuagint of Proverbs chapter 3 verse 21, where the Greek translator used the word for drift away that is found in the Septuagint. He may have referred to that passage. In the Septuagint, it is translated as, "My son, do not slip away, but keep my counsel and intent." So we note here that the admonition is written to believers. I repeat, this letter is not written for non-believers. In fact, as I said before, the whole of Scripture is not written for the unbelievers. It is written for the believers. Yes, there are messages or teachings that are relevant and applicable to the non-believers, especially the message of salvation and redemption. But by and large, the whole of Scripture, or all of Scripture, is written for the believer. And so here it is also for the book of Hebrews. "For the writer include himself." Look at verse 1 again of chapter 2. "Therefore we ought to give the more earnest." So the writer includes himself because he used the word "we." The danger here is that of what? What is the danger? What is Paul trying to tell us? Is that of neglecting our salvation. Neglecting our salvation. I want us to pay careful note that the author did not write rejecting of our salvation, but neglecting. He is not encouraging sinners or the non-believers to come to know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Rather, he is writing to the Christians or the believers to encourage them that they ought to pay attention, be attentive, and take heed to the great salvation they have received from the Lord Jesus. The word "salvation" there used in chapter 2, verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" The salvation mentioned here, of course, is referring to the same as mentioned in chapter 1, verse 14, heirs of salvation. And so this suggests that the believer's potential share in Christ's triumphant kingdom or dominion, that the believers has this together with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus himself, while on earth, spoke much of his future kingdom, and he included the participation of his faithful disciples or followers, that they too will reign or rule together with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would like to bring out to us for our application, let every believer not fall into this false notion that once saved and forever saved, and there is nothing else the believers need to do. That you will somehow naturally or automatically grow and mature in your faith. It is not true. It doesn't happen that way. There is a need to take heed. There is a need, as what Paul says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I repeat, it is work out and not work for. So therefore, as a believer, it doesn't stop there that you are a born again believer just because you said that prayer of confession, and then that's it. There's nothing else you need to do. There is a spiritual growing. There is the work of sanctification into Christ likeness. And then when you look at the last part of Hebrews verse 1, lest at any time we should let them sleep. This verse might better be translated as lest we drift away from them. It gives us a better sense of that meaning or the force behind that verse. And then later on in Hebrews 6:19, Paul uses the illustration of an anchor to show how confident we can be in the promises of God. For his promises is sure and certain. Most spiritual problems, we must note, are caused by our neglect rather than perhaps by any other failure on our part. We neglect, as I said, the word of God. We neglect prayer. We neglect worship. We neglect fellowship with God's people. And that is why Paul also wrote in Hebrews 10:25 that we ought not to forget the assembling of ourselves so as to provoke one another unto love and good works. There is a need for that. And oftentimes we overlook or we neglect such things and we pay very little attention to all these things. And that resulted in our slipping away, in our decline. And we also, beside prayer, God's word, worship, fellowship, we may also neglect other opportunities for spiritual growth. And as a result, we start to drift away. You see, the anchor does not move. We do, isn't it? Verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels were steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect? You see, during the Old Testament time, people who do not take heed of God's word were sometimes punished. That word given to the Old Testament saints through the angels or by the angels. So how much more greater responsibility do you and I have today as believers in the New Testament? We have received the full word of God, 66 books that is sufficient for our faith and practice. How much more are we responsible as compared to the Old Testament saints who received the word through angels and they do not have the New Testament at that time. So therefore, we are very blessed indeed. We have the full revelation of God of both the Old and New Testament. Therefore, we have greater responsibility, my friends. In Hebrews 2, verse 2, transgression there refers to sins of omission, while disobedience suggests sins of omission. I like to illustrate this with a story. There is a story of a pastor who preached a series of sermons on the sins of the saints, the sins of the saints, the sins of the believers. And then this pastor was reprimanded by a member of his church. The member said this, "Pastor, after all, sin in the life of a Christian is different from the sin in the lives of other people." The pastor replied, "Yes, it's true, but it is worse." It is worse for the Christians. Many believers have the idea that they are in the New Testament era of under grace, and therefore they will escape the chastening hand of God. Even if they neglect here and there, it doesn't matter because they are no longer under the law. But they have ignored the warning from our Lord Jesus when he said in Luke 12:48, "For unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required." Not only have we received the word from the Son of God, but that word has been confirmed by apostolic miracles. That is why in verse 3 it says, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost. And so the phrase there, signs and wonder, is found 11 times in the New Testament. Here it refers to miracles, miracles that the apostle performed. For what purpose? To authenticate that they are the servants of the Lord, that they are apostles, and also to witness or to testify to God's word and give confirmation that this is truly the word of God. And so these miracles were performed by the apostle for that purpose. You can see this also in Mark chapter 16, 17 to 20, and also Acts 2 verse 43. Today, you and I, we have the completed word of God. So there is no need for us to look for or to go for this apostolic miracles. God himself right now bear witness through his Holy Spirit using his sacred word. The Spirit also gives spiritual gifts to God's people. For what purpose? So that they may minister to the edification of the saints in the church. And this we know in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11 and the following verses. Brethren, too many Christians today take the word of God for granted and treat it inattentively and neglect it. Is it not true, as we see in so many churches that has gone apostate or has gone or backslided, even individual Christians? And even for us, our own life, if we honestly examine ourselves, is it true? Is it not true that oftentimes we pay so little attention, we spend so little time on the word of God and in prayer, and we neglect it, and we take it for granted? Whether private worship, whether public worship, and this is the cause of our spiritual drifting and backsliding, neglecting the word of God. We need not multiply examples, because every one of us knows, the believers that is, that it is true. He or she has either experienced this drifting and this backsliding, or they may have seen it in the lives of other believers, seeing how they also, over time, begin to neglect prayer, neglect the word, neglect worship, not interested in worship, not interested in prayer, not interested in Bible study, and then spend all their time only on the things of the world, which is, some of it is necessary, but they have neglected it, and this resulted in their backsliding. Beloved, the next time when you sing, come down foul of every blessing. I just want to suggest to you this story of the composer of this hymn, Come Down Foul of Every Blessing. This song or this hymn is composed by Robert Robinson. He was converted under the mighty preaching of George Whitefield, but later he drifted from the Lord. He had been greatly used as a pastor, but in his personal walk with the Lord, he neglect things spiritual. He neglect his own spiritual growth. He neglect his own spiritual edification, and gradually that led him astray. And in an attempt to find peace, Robinson began to travel. He thought he can get it away by just doing traveling. During one of his journeys, he met a young woman who was evidently very spiritually minded. And she met him and asked him this question. "Sir, what do you think of this hymn I have been reading?" she asked Robinson, handing to him the book. And Robinson straight away realized that it was his own hymn. He wrote that hymn. And so he tried to avoid her question, but it was hopeless because God in his mercy is using her to speak to him. And finally, Robinson broke down and confessed who he was and how he had been living away from the Lord. But then this woman assured him and said, "But these streams of mercy are still flowing." And through her encouragement and prayer, Robinson was restored to fellowship with his Lord. Brethren, we do not deny that being attentive to the word of God is hard, especially in our day and age filled with so much distraction and superficiality. It is easier, isn't it, to drift away or to drift with the current or to go with the flow. However, let us not forget, brethren, that our salvation is a great salvation. It is not cheap. It costs God a high price. It costs our Lord Jesus a lot. He paid with his blood. He paid with his life. Our salvation does not come cheap, even though it is extended to you freely. Oh, let us remember, it is purchased at a great price, with the blood of Christ, the Son of God. It brings with it also such a salvation, brings with it also great promises and spiritual blessings. And it leads to a great inheritance in glory. Therefore, how can we neglect it? If you are truly a born-again believer, ask yourself, is this not true of your salvation, of your redemption, of what Christ has done for you in your life, that he has granted you such a great salvation, purchased at a great price, and now you choose to neglect it, and now you choose to take it for granted, and now you choose to take it carelessly and to treat it or even to abuse it? Oh, what sin it would be for us to do that. So let us therefore pay close attention to God's life-giving word and life-transforming word. There is a judgment, dear friends, that awaits those who fail to take heed to God's final word in Christ, which is the greater judgment than the judgment that came upon the rebels in the Old Testament. Those of us who are in the New Testament era, those of us, we having the complete revelation of God, we have a greater responsibility. And therefore, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So therefore, I urge all of us, no matter how busy you may be, no matter how much you have to attend to each day, let us take heed that it is impossible to escape God's wrath if we neglect this great salvation. Plead for the Lord's help. There is no denial, brethren, that there, on our part, there is a need to make certain sacrifices, to set certain priorities. Something must go. Every one of us is given 24 hours. No more, no less. For a child, 24 hours. For the president, 24 hours. And therefore, it is up to us to set our priorities and to manage the time that God has given to us. And God is very fair to every one of us. And therefore, we have no excuse to say, oh, we have no time for this. We have no time for prayer. We have no time for the word of God. We have no time for Bible study. We have no time for Christian fellowship. Every one of us are given 24 hours each day. It is up to us, and we will have to answer to God for that. And therefore, may I encourage all of us that if you find yourself indeed neglecting, slipping away, going down, declining, drifting away from things spiritual, return, as what we learn from the book of Jeremiah. Turn back to God, seek His help, ask for the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, to empower you, pray that the Holy Spirit to do that work of renewal, to infuse in you a greater love for God's word, like what the psalmist says, that he delights in the word of life, in the word of God. And so therefore, let us pray for that. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks to thee for this short and brief exhortation that you have given to us. We pray that you will help us. We do acknowledge indeed that oftentimes we have not set our priorities right. We did not manage the time that you have given to us wisely and fruitfully. We are much tempted and we yield to temptation and go after so many other things that are of no spiritual value. And oftentimes, O Lord, we have neglect your word and neglect prayer, neglect fellowship and neglect worship. O Father, we pray that you will help us to take heed. Help us to be watchful that we will not allow ourselves to be drifted away and to fall and to decline in our walk with you. Oh, so Lord, we pray that in this new week, that thou will grant us much grace, wisdom, the empowering of the Holy Spirit, that we may live our lives that will glorify thy holy name. Hear this our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.